We're up to let's review pasuk yud ches. I'm not sure we did the Rashi's pasuk yud ches. No, we really did. We did pasuk yud ches. Let's go on to pasuk yud tes. Pasuk yud tes. Let's go to pasuk yud tes. Perek yud gimel. Pasuk yud tes. Tava niya serav l'nofesh v'savas kesilim sur mirah. This is a hard pasuk. It's very hard to translate these words. Let's do it very slowly with the parish of the Mitzudah Stavit. Pasuk yud tes. Tava niya. First thing is he translates the word niya in a very unusual way to mean shavar, to be broken. When a tava, a desire, is broken, when a person achieves, he succeeds in breaking his tavos, he is no longer a slave to his, is no longer addicted to his passions. Se'erav l'nofesh. It's very pleasing to the soul. The soul, the neshama, has great pleasure. He has achieved his purpose in this world. That's one interpretation. Let's see the mitzvah. Tavol nefesh kasher nishbera tavas adam binyani haguf. When a person breaks his desires with regard to matters of the guf, os terav lenefesh hamiskeles. It's very pleasing to a person's intellect, to his soul, to his mind. Ki os taskil, because then he succeeds. Person has the ability to break a bad habit, to break an addiction. Then he will have the power to succeed to do anything in this world. Avol harishoyim davar tov hulhem. On the other hand, a wicked person, it's detestable to them not to have the opportunity to fulfill their desires. Davar tov hulhem kasher hema sodim in hara. If they decide one day not to do an avera, it's painful for them. Not fulfilling their taiva. They would much prefer they have a taiva, do an avera, and to do the avera. They don't want to break bad habits. In fact, if they find themselves in a situation where they don't have a desire on that particular day to do an avera, they fill the taiva, that means it bothers them. A tzaddik, on the other hand, has a very great taiva. It has very great, great, great pleasure that he doesn't have taiva. I once heard a hesped under Rav Eliezer Kahanau. Rav Eliezer Kahanau, he was a reshiva in Tor Vidas. When I was in Tor Vidas, my first he was of Mill Basin, right? He was also in Crown Heights. I think he was in Crown Heights at one point in time. Okay, so we're going to learn Lezechuli L'Nishmas Hu Yav Yosef Far? Chava Bas Yosef Yehuda. May Hashem have an aliyah. Okay, so we have here, so he said, I don't remember the deal that his son came to Rav Das and he was masked with his father, and he said, I'm sure he was referring to, but he said that a Zokain, when a person gets older, he has tremendous, a Talmud Chacham who gets older, when he becomes a Zakin, has tremendous Hana, because he no longer has Taivas. He no longer has all the distractions that young people have to deal with. A young person has a Taiva for Noshim, a Taiva for Mamoin, a Taiva for Kavoid. When a person reaches a certain point in his life, it's not really always true. People get older, they have a Taiva, even greater Taivas for Kavoid. Greater tivus for covenant for all these other things, but generally a healthy person, okay, when he gets older, he had enough already. He's already enough covenant life. He has enough to live with. Enough money to live for the rest of his life. But if he's trained his entire life to pursue ruchnius, so when a person gets older, it's not that you know. It's easier to deal with these passions are dulled, and if your whole life you're battling these improper passions and taivas, it's much, much easier to deal with when you get old. And then in the seva, a zaken has tremendous sipuk hanefesh because he's able to serve Hashem, easily overcome his taivas. On the other hand, a rasha, when he gets older and his taivas are not as strong as they were when he was young, it eats him up. Because the whole hana he had in life was to be fulfilled these taivas. So now when he gets older and these taivas are not there, the tzar that he has. Why can't I be like a youngster, a 30-year-old, and have the taiva like I used to have when I was 30 years old and fulfill my taivas? That itself, that lack of taiva, bothers him and eats him up. That's exactly what it says in this pasuk. Tava niyah tetav l'nefesh. That when he's dealing with a tzaddik who is a person who is involved with the spiritual essence of his soul, and then he comes to a point in time in his life where he succeeds in breaking the taiva, he has tremendous sipuk hanah. It's tremendous enjoyment for his neshama. Mitzad acher, when you're dealing with a rasha, and when he gets older, and his taivas are not the same, he has to go take medication, all these different types of artificial means, hameven yavin, in order to bring back the taivas of his youth, in order to fulfill those taivas. The taivas kesilin, it's an abomination to a kesil, sur meira, if he finds himself now in a stage in his life, I don't have a taiva for these things. How could it possibly be? So the tzaddik, gevaldik, I don't have a taiva. I can learn now b'menuchas hanefesh, I can learn b'tahara, I can learn b'kedusha. It's a whole wonderful life. A rasha, I don't have these taivas. You go to the pharmacy, you listen to the radio, and they'll provide you with a long list of things to do to bring back the taiva to be mal of the taiva. It's mamash straight out of the pasuk over here, this very lofty idea. Okay, let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi pasuk yit bursing test tavla nefesh kishabot tavos lo la adam. Now here the Rashi see when the taiva comes. So Rashi is translating the pasuk backwards. Let's just jump down to the middle of the Rashi. Rashi over here says nihiya before we nihiya means hove, it is lashon of the present tense. The present tense it exists.
Has become
as what you say.
Has become.
Hover, dover ach. Okay, that's the first interpretation, which basically means tava ni. Yes. Now let's go back to the beginning of the Rashi. Kishabo tavaso lo adam. He, when a person's desire has been fulfilled, the person who yearns for spirituality. A whole different interpretation. According to Rashi, the word tava is not a negative word; it is a positive word. A person has a desire to serve Hashem. He has a desire to succeed in life. A desire to accomplish. And when he succeeds in accomplishing, he has great sibuk hanefesh. Kishabo. Ta'avoso lo le'odam, he arvo le'navsho, it brings, arevo le'navsho, it brings pleasantness to his nesham, ulechein ulekach, therefore, ulekach, ta'avas kesil, the desire of the fool, lasur meira, lefi sha'orav lohem, it's a ta'avas, an abomination of the kesil lasur meira, lefi sha'orav lohem lemali ta'avosam, they, and other way around, they desire to fulfill their taiva. So, according to the Nihiyah, let's read the whole Rashi, a little bit confused, the whole Rashi, Nihiyah Hova, that's Kishabo'a when it comes, period. Then he goes on to say another interpretation, which we'll come to one moment. But according to Rashi, Tava Nihiyah Se'erav L'Nafesh, when it comes to a tzaddik, when he succeeds in accomplishing his desires of serving Hashem, this is pleasant. But a Rasha, V'toyavas Kisilim, it is an abomination to a fool, sur meira, to turn away from ra. They do not want to according to Rashi, I don't really have clarity in what the beginning of the pasuk has to the end of the pasuk. Yeah, explain.
Tavas niyat teorul nefesh. That it's a good thing when a good person, a tzaddik, has a wants to do good, right?
When he wants to do, so what does he want to do? You're adding into the pasuk. You're adding into this. What does he want to do?
When he's doing it, when he has a taiva,
to do good.
The tayavas silim, but the
abomination.
Abomination for a fool is sur meira, to go away from there. But he wants to stay for good.
Right. But so what then does it mean the taiva? According to the meaning of the pasuk, taiva means the desire to do good. Yeah, I guess you have to add that in. The desire to do good.
Rashi says that because it's not taiva nefesh. The word is nefesh.
Nefesh is not the goof. It's
the nefesh. Is it tzaddik? There are two people here in the pasuk. There's the tzaddik and the rasha. The tzaddik is the nefesh.
Right.
Now, what is the taiva? So, according to Rashi, taiva means the taiva to do mitzvahs, a spiritual desire. So that according to Rashi is being added into the pasuk. That's not really clear in the pasuk.
Look at taiva and nefesh, niyet, but he wants now to do a taiva for the nefesh.
Oh, also very good. So you're taking the time for the neshama. Very good.
Right.
So when,
yeah,
when
the
okay, very good. Okay.
But to go away from bad things.
That's an abomination.
That's
okay.
Abomination.
So very good. So you're saying tavel and nefesh. So the nefesh wants to have spirituality, and when the neshama achieves that degree of spirituality, nihiyah, it is pleasant. So tav, according to Rashi, means good. A desire to do good, to satisfy the neshama. When this comes about, when he succeeds, it kishabah, then it is terav levish. But the end of the pasuk is really the same coin to Rashi and the mitzvah. Let's read backwards. Sur meira. But when it comes to a rasha, a kasil,
the idea
of sur meira is a to'avas, is an abomination to his mind. But again, let's just go backwards. But according to the parish of the Mitsudos, this is an entirely different meaning of the pasuk. Nihiyah does not mean when it comes, to when he succeeds, but it means to break, to shatter. Therefore, when it says tava means has a negative connotation, that to break a bad midah, a person has a taiva lenoshim, a taiva for gezel, a taiva for kavod, when a person succeeds in breaking this bad taiva, that is se'erav lenefesh. That's the way the Mitzudos learns. Now, like Rashi translates niyah means when he succeeds in coming.
You could look up a little, it's talking about Tzur Meira.
Yeah.
So when you have Tzur Meira, then Tava Niyah, Te'arav Lenefesh. The Taiva of Tzur Meira is Te'arav Lenefesh. But Te'avas Ksilim, the same Tzur Meira, for a Ksil, it's a Te'avas.
So you're explaining that according to the Mitzudah Stava, the word Tzur Meira also goes back in the beginning of the Pasek. Refers back to when we say Tava is defined by the end of the Pasek of Tzur Meira. A Taiva to do Ra. Not sur, not turn away. To do ra.
No, a taiva to be sur meira is for a nefesh, for a good person is good.
When but according to the mitzvahs, you have to take into account the word nihiyah. According to the mitzvahs, the word nihiyah means to shatter. So shattering here, just a general interpretation, means that when he succeeds in breaking the ra, the tava, to do ra, that is a satisfaction to the neshama. The rosh, on the other hand, the thought of not doing the avera, that itself, the thought of not doing the avera would be an abomination. Okay, let's leave it with that. The two interpretations, Rashi and the mitzvahs, and then Rashi now provides a third interpretation, which is not the pshat, which is more along the lines of the Medrash. What does it say? Let me just find the place. Dover Acher, Tava Niyah, HaKadosh, not Tava Niyah, comma. What do those two words mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mis'aveh Sheyaseh Yisrael Ritzoynai. The word Nefesh here really refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, it is a Terav LeNefesh, it is a pleasantness, Kaviyachol, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's soul. We have no concept of what that means. When his will is fulfilled, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will is, when is Hashem's will fulfilled? When Klal Yisrael does his desire. One more time, the words. Davaracher Tava Niyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. He desires Sheyasu Yisrael Ritzono Uviyois Tava So Ba. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire comes, arevolo, it is pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the nefesh here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ta'ava is the desire of Hashem that we should do His will, and it is pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, v'tayavas v'shoyim, sheyesu mira'osam l'malas tavosam, that is, appears to be exactly the same according to the interpretation as well. It is an abomination to the v'shoyim to turn away from fulfilling their evil desires. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk, Hoylich es chachamim vechkom. Over here, Shlomo HaMelech is giving us instructions. Shall go. He's giving us instructions. Go to the wise man, vechkom, and become wise. I'm sorry,
Yechkom.
I have here Yechkom. It's a kivuch siv. Okay, it's a kivuch siv. There's a vav. Exchange the vav with the yud, but the nekudos here, my, at least in my print, are exactly the same. I know we have in your print is yechkom. Hoylech el chachamim, go to the chachamim, yechkom, and become wise. However, which basically means the person who goes to her will become wise. The ro'eh kisilu, person who shepherds, and this in this context means he hangs out, he associates with fools. Ye roa, he will become broken. Ye roa is another word for the Tzudah Sion says shaviru ritzitz will become broken. Let's see the Tzudah Pasuk. Pasuk Chav Yacham ki yilman mehem, he will become wise, because if you hang out, if you associate with wise people, you will learn from them. The roya, what does the word v'roya mean? Hamechaber, a person that connects himself atzmo lekesilim. Roya means to associate, like a roya, a friend, with foolish people. Liyoslo lereim, today the foolish people shall be his friends. Yeshuvar, he will be broken via rutzatz and shattered. Imahem, with them, ki yilmod nehem v'gumulo yashuvlo, he will learn from them, and what will come upon them will come upon him. Rashi pasuk chaf holich el chachamim yacham v'roya kesilim hamechaber loy kesilim liyos loreim. A person goes and he attaches for himself fools to be his friends. Yeroa yirutzatz, he will be shattered by these friends. I have over here a long collection of midrashim. They all based same exact concept, that if you attach yourself to a wise man, to good people, you'll always come out ahead. Oil Rasha. What's the Pirkei Avos?
You're judged by the company you keep.
But what's the exact definition in Pirkei Avos? I forgot the exact words in what it says in Pirkei Avos. Okay, just let me give you a few examples here. What it says. First example is the person goes into a perfume store. Hu yoytze, first medrash. Very quick, we'll go through some of the midrashim. Marshal Misha nichnas bechanusa shel basam. A person enters in into a perfume shop. Basamim. Afapi sheinu meichel loy ve'in lekech. Meaning, if you're buying absolutely nothing, you just walk into the department store. Hu yoytze v'reichoy. Not if you walk out smelling good. On the other hand. What?
Comes out smelling like a rose. The Gemara says, till Yericha, your college didn't have to put on perfume.
Because of the fragrance of Yericha, because of the Keteres in the Beis HaMikdash. The Reicha, the God of Mivu Samim, the In Reicha is Zazmenu Kol Yom, and the fragrance does not depart the entire day. Allah Fu Eimer. In fact, the Medrash quotes this very, very pasuk. Koylech El Es Chachamim, Yechkam, if you go to a Chacham, you will become wise. What's the end of the pasuk? The Roya, it rubs off. The fragrance, the Reach rubs off on you. You are a product of your environment. The Roya Chisilim, Yeroa Moshe Lecha, Shenichnas Lechanusa Shalburski. What's a Burski? A tannery shop. Stinks. Stinks with the terrible odor of lime. Lime. So you walk in there, even just to walk in there, you walk out stinking. Even if you know you don't sell in a kechmenu, who yoytse, the rechay, reyav, reyach begodav, meluch lochim, they are filthy, dirty. Be'in rechash, reyach begodav, those men call you, and if you can't get rid of the stench, you can't get rid of the stench for the remainder of the day, because the passage concludes, the roya kisilim yeroa, a person that associates with fools, yeroa, he will be shattered. Okay, let's go to another medrash. Another medrash speaks about, well, in halacha, if chas v'shalom there is a sreifa, you're allowed to save a sefer Torah, kisvei kodesh, you're allowed to transfer a sefer Torah from a rishus hayachid to a karmelis, to a karmelis, even though it's normally yasim the rabbanon. Chazal lifted the issur the rabbanon to go from a rishus hayachid to a karmelis when there's a sreifa in the sefer Torah. What about the tick? What about the mantle? Are you mechuyev to take the mantle off the sefer Torah before you carry out the sefer Torah? The answer is no. The mantle becomes a tuffle to the sefer Torah. If you just had lying on the floor in the shul a mantle that's not part of the sefer Torah, you would not be allowed to violate Mr. Midrabanan to save the mantle. The mantle does not have the kedusha of the sefer itself. It would be usher. But now that it's wrapped up to the sefer Torah, you're allowed to save it. So what do we learn from this concept? The Gal, there's a famous halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If we learn the Kiddush, the Mamash learned these exact words in Kiddush Shulchan Aruch not that long ago. Yimatzilim the tikha sefer ima sefer. And the Yalkut Shmoni, when it quotes this halacha, it quotes this pasuk in Mishlei. Choylech el chachamim yechkam. If you attach yourself to a chacham, you also will become wise.
There's not a parallel here. I mean, there's cholech by a chacham, and there's roma.
Oh, so you're saying a very, very good point. You're saying a good point is that empty cans make a lot of noise. L'chor, the word roya is a looser word. Roya means You just hang out loosely. You don't have a strong connection. Hoylech means you make a decision. I'm going to leave the comfort zone. I'm going to leave my comfort. I'm going to go. Roya means you just happen to be going for a stroll. You're pasturing. The animals are grazing in the field. When the animals go ranchalal, you happen to be grazing. So in Echnami, harm, it's very easy. It's much easier to fall, to go astray than it is to do good. They say in the Torah there are more. There are 365 lois aseis, and there are 248 aseis. There are more lois aseis than aseis. That itself speaks volumes. The Torah gave us more things not to do than the Torah gave us things to do. I once told you, I have a friend who complained to the Rebbe of his child that every day the kid comes off from school and he has to fill out a whole sheet of all the things that he did not do. He did not watch television. He did not go online. He did not speak Lashon Hara. He did not fight with his siblings. So the parents said to the Rebbe, why don't you give the kids some positive reinforcement? They should fill out the sheet when they come home at night that I learned half an hour. I spoke nicely to my v'chulu. I did everything right. Why is everything so negative? So the Rebbe says, you're right. We have to think about this. But I think the message was, but you know, unfortunately, the way it is in chinuch is that's just the way it is. It's a lot easier for a kid to go astray, to go the wrong way than the positive. The dangers out there are much, much greater, much greater proportion than the things you need to do to go up. And you see that from this pasuk being a very good point. It's not a decision, absolutely right, but at some point I'm 100%, 100%, I'm not in chinuch, I know nothing about chinuch, I'm just making some observations, but the point you made is a very powerful point here. The word choylech is definitely, at least from my limited understanding, a much more powerful word than the word roya. Choylech means you make a conscious decision to leave your makoim, to go to chachamim. Only then do you get the benefit of yechkam. But when it comes to being part of the Kasilim, you don't got to do much. You're just in the wrong place, in the wrong time. You hang out, you're Roya Kasilim, Yeroah, watch out, you will be swept up in their evil, in their problems. A very, very good point.
Very good word, Roya. It's like you're part of the herd that's eating the grass.
Follow the masses, right? That just
the same derivation.
Well, he's saying Roya, well, yeah, it's being a friend. It's okay, it is similar. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea the Gemara talks about is Adam HaRishon. This is a very scary thing. Adam HaRishon, it puts everything in a very different perspective. Hashem put Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden. There were two places for Adam to go. He could have hung out in the Beis Medrash. Who was in the Beis Medrash in Gan Eden? They also had a kollel in Gan Eden. And who was there? Hashem, Malachim. And then he could have gone home to his wife, to Chava. So Adam, if he would have stayed in the Beis Medrash till Erev Shabbos, he would have come out okay. Shabbos would have begun. He would not have been nichshel in the Eitz Hadas, and he would have gone. The whole world would have been different. But instead, Adam decided to hang out with his wife. The Kasil. Over here, the Medrash is calling this a shocking Medrash. Is calling the wife the Kasil because the wife gave him teeth from the Eitz Hadas. Shocking. Look what it says. Yalkut Shmoini, the Omar Hadover Acher. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam HaRishon, Shoma LeIshtoi, V'Niskoresh, and he was driven out of Gan Eden. Shalmole, Nidbak, Bi, if only Adam HaRishon would attach himself to me those 6 hours of the day, those last 6 hours of Friday, Bi, V'Shoma Li, HaYikamoni, he would be like a God, he would be a holy person. Kishem Shani, Chai V'Kayom, Kachu, HaYichai V'Kayom. And the Medrash concludes by saying, what's the source for this? That Kadosh Baruch Hu says, watch your company, you should have hung out with me and not hang out with your wife. This very pasuk, Hoylech es chachamim yechkam, Hashem is the chacham. Adam Shef chose to associate with better company in Gan Eden.
So you'll come to Kyle for 4 hours.
Yechkam, and not go home to his wife, Raya, which was the Royech Chesilim Yeroa. Now you know why there are no women here in the Kyle. Couldn't get away with that one. Okay, another simple example. Another example. The Medrash says Noach. Noach Hongad vayizkol kimes noach v'eis kol hachaya v'es kol abheima asher ito bateva. The Medrash is the question, noach zocha beheima v'chaya ma zochu, in what merit did the animals survive? The answer is they hung out el mishum shohayu imat tzadik b'teva, in the zchus of Noach. In the zchus of Noach, that's why the animals survived. They were with good company. But what about everyone else? V'roye chisilim yirala ze dor hamabul. That's the dor hamabul. They were all
destroyed.
Oyluhem l'rishoyim v'lid bukehem maksiv bohem v'yimach eskola yikum v'kozam v'chulu v'chulu. Everyone was wiped out. All of the creatures that associated with evil people were destroyed as well. Okay, another quick example: Hananya, Mishova, Azaria. Their clothing was not burned, just like they were not burned. We learned this. Guvraya ilech kifisu bisarbo lehon. These people were thrown in with their garments, and when they came out, the pasuk says, "Visarbo lehon lo shino." Their garments were not singed. Why? Because it's like the tick of the Sefer Torah. Just like the tick HaSefer is saved with the Sefer, the clothing of the tzaddik also were saved with the tzaddik. Okay, another idea is Lot. This is a famous halacha. Lot, he hung out with the people of Sodom, and that's why the Medrash says he was nichshol with his daughters. Incest. Chazal say it's only because he got used to the moral climate of society and being in Sodom all of these years. That's what put in his mind, lowered his moral standards, and he allowed himself to be nichshol in Arayos with his daughters. Had he remained with Avraham Avinu, it never would have happened under any condition that he would have been nichshol with his daughters. And that the Medrash applies the same pasuk. Lot, he hung out with the chesilim, the anshei Sodom, instead of being a wise man and going after the ways of Avraham. Another example the Medrash gives is Yehoshua ben Nun. Yehoshua ben Nun, why was he able to succeed and not listen to the advice of the Meraglim? He was not persuaded by the Meraglim because he hung out in good company. He hung out with Yeshua Nar Lo Yomush Mitocha Oel. Since his entire life he hung out with Moshe Rabbeinu, that gave him the koyach to overcome the Atzas HaMeraglim. Okay, and in contrast to that, the Meraglim, who did not hang out with good company, they hung out with people that were not so good. They were nichshol in speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's in a nutshell some of the Midrashim teaching us. Very basic principle is you are judged by the company you keep. Let's go to Pasuk Chof Aleph. Chatoim tiradef ra'ah v'yes tzadikim yishalem tov. Now who are the chatoim? The Mitzvah says the Mitzudos is reading these three words backwards. The Ra'ah, the evil, that the Chata'im, that the sinners commit, they do. Tirahi tiradef osam ad hishamdam. It will overtake them. The evil itself will be the source of their punishment. Kisikatreg aleihem, it will accuse them in Shemayim. They will serve as an every Averi creates a Maluch, or the Averi itself causes the Koyach of their own destruction. But on the other hand, the Pasuk includes V'yes Tzadikim Yishalem Tov Hazuchus She'im HaTzadikim, the merit Hu Yishalem Lohem Socher Tov. What does that mean? Ki Yolitz Toiva Aleihem. Every mitzvah you do creates an advocate, goes to Shemayim, and it speaks on your behalf. The on your behalf. So this is the simple interpretation of the pasuk. Rashi here says, "Chatoim tiradef adam rasha rish asay roid fasay." Same idea. Ad hishamdo, an evil man. That's the chatoim. The chatoim, these are the sinners. That's called the adam rasha. That is the translation of the word chatoim, evil men. Tiradef ra'ah, the evil that they do brings about their own destruction. But on the other hand, v'yas tzadikim yishalem tov. He doesn't say it obvious that tzadikim who do mitzvos, their good deeds will serve as a zchus on their behalf. I don't have here any midrashim. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk of Beis Toiv Yanchil Bnei Vanim. Good will be inherited by Bnei Vanim, by grandchildren. Vitzafun Latzadik chel chote, it is hidden away for the tzaddik, the wealth of the sinner. All of the wealth of the rishoyim is put away ultimately for the benefit of the tzaddik. Now there are a lot of things that this pasuk can mean. Let's go slow. Let's see one thing at a time. With the mitzvah pasuk habeis, the mitzvah says tov ish toif. Okay, that's the first thing that the mitzvah says. Nachalosoi his yanchil. His inheritance is not just for himself. His good deeds, his merits, will overflow, will be passed on to his descendants.
Why did they skip the children?
It means even the children, even the children.
It says Af
means Af. Af Libnei Banaf. So I guess we have a right to assume certainly to the children. Af Libnei Banaf. Af Libnei Banaf. Aval Oisher HaChoyte, the wealth of the Choyte, who tzofel Letzadik, the Choyte will not himself derive benefit from his own wealth, but instead he's working for the Tzadikim, who tzofel Letzadik, Vafil Lebonav Lo Yinchol, even his children will not derive benefit from his great wealth. Okay, this is the Pshut Shemekor, the Pshut Tatsilvi Rashi. Rashi, Toiv Yanchil, a good person will bequeath Es Zuchusoi, his merits, the Es Mimoinoi, not just his merits, even his physical possessions will go down to his children, Lubnei Bonov, Aval Choite, but a Rasha. He will not bequeath, certainly he has nothing good, no zechusim to give over to his children, but even his wealth will not be passed down to his children. His wealth is put away to the tzaddik. Vatosem Esther, Es Mordechai, Albei Saman. Rashi connects this to the story of the Megillah. Right. All of the wealth, the enormous wealth of Haman Arasha, was given to Mordechai. And to Mordechai, so you see that his wealth was put away for Mordechai the Tzaddik. Now, the Medrash is a beautiful
Medrash. But that Haman was allowed to accumulate this wealth
in order to ultimately pass it on to the Tzaddik. Now, there's a very beautiful Medrash here. The Medrash is in Psikta Zutrosa Breishis Perikhof Hei. Rav Michal, you know what this is? The Psikta Zutrosa? Okay, here it goes. Tov. Who is the Tov? The Tov is Avraham Avinu. He is the Tov. Ze Avraham Avinu Shehinchil es kol ha-shelo liYitzchak. When it says here Tov, the Tzaddik Yanchil will bequeath Bnei Vanim. All his wealth will be given over to his descendants. Now, this, it's a little bit problematic because the simple translation is Bnei Vanim, which would then mean Yaakov. And the truth is, Yaakov did not receive this wealth because what happened? Esav came along, Eliphaz came along and took everything for himself. Okay, so the Medrash is not translating it Bnei Vanim to mean literally grandchildren. He's referring to children. And this is a Beferish Pasuk. The Pasuk says, it says, Vayiten Avraham es kol asher lo li Yitzchak. Avraham gave everything that he possesses to Yitzchak. Period. So that's how we're going to translate the first half of the pasuk. Avraham is the Tov. Yanchil will bequeath his bracha to Bnei Vanim, to his children. We're not translating as grandchildren, we're translating it loosely as children to Yitzchak. Next. But he had another child. Who was that other child? Yishmael. What did he give Yishmael? He gave him Matanos. Uvneha Pilak Shim Asher Li Avraham Nosan Avraham Matonos. I'm reading the Pasuk. Vayishalchem, not here from the Medrash. Vayishalchem Al Yitzchak Beno Biodenu Chai. Now, what are those Matonos? Rashi on the Pasuk in Chumash says the shame Tumah. Shame Tumah. That's one interpretation. But according to other interpretations, other Mefarshim, he gave them actually, he gave them good things, matanos, gifts. He gave them wealth. He gave them assets, things that they need to set up shop. He gave them oil. He gave them Saudi Arabia, whatever he gave them. He gave them a lot of good things. Who will ultimately bequeath the bracha of Yishmael? It's an amazing medrash, especially in our day and age. ikvus of the Mashiach, according to the Medrash, that which was tzofu, that was the chel chote, the wealth of the sinner Yishmael, who had to be sent away at the command of Sarah Imenu. Those gifts that were given to him by Avraham, the matanos ulubnei hapilakshim asher li Avraham nosan Avraham matanos. So this really refers to the pilakshim that will ultimately go back one day to Ishamor li Yitzchak. Amazing medrash in the today's day and age to take note of.
But it's also true of Yaakov that
Lavan,
Edom is the one who accumulates all the wealth and power, and in the long run, he invests and accumulates, and then Yaakov or Yisrael will eventually have that transfer of wealth.
Okay.
And the example that you mentioned earlier of Mordechai and Haman is an example of what happens between Yaakov and Esau.
Okay. But this particular specific message is focusing specifically on Avraham with regard to the two people whom he openly gave presents.
Okay, but you had said earlier that Yaakov did not benefit from the brachah. It's not true. In the short term,
he did not benefit, but ultimately he will benefit. In Chanami. Toiv Yanchil bin Evonim, the Tzofon la Tzadik, it's in for the Tzadik Yitzchak, he is the Tzadik of this Pasik, the Chel Chotei, the wealth of the Bnei HaPilakshim. Okay, third Medrash, another short Medrash.
What was that Midrash with?
When was the Psik, all the Midrashim come from the time of the Tanoim.
Yeah.
Or even earlier. Perhaps even earlier than the Tanoim, which goes back to the time, the tail end of the Bayesheni. So about 2,000 years.
That's why you see Greek words and Roman and Latin words in there. Because that's the era.
2,000 years ago. Let's go to... Now, there is one other interesting point the Psittas of Drossi makes. It says here, Bnei Vanim. Bnei Vanim means grandchildren. He connects it to the famous Chazal that says, Kol lo yomushu. We say this every day in davening, in Uvol Tzion, lo yomushu mipicha. Umipi zaracha, umipi zera zaracha, me'atavi adolam, that kevon shle nifsuka Torah b'meshach gimel doro shuv lo tipasek li'ol. A person has zoicha to have three generations of Torah in his family. It's muftach that Torah lo yemushu li'olam. Three generations will never, there will always be muftach that the Torah will be in his family. And the Mefarshim explained, basically upon, it's also here as well, the three generations have to see each other. This unique bracha of three generations of Torah is where you have the grandfather, the son, and the grandson all sitting together, all Talmidei Chum. I once went to a siyum, it was a very moving siyum. I was in high school, and there was a boy in my class who made a siyum. And his father came and his grandfather came. And his father was a Talmud Chacham and the grandfather was a Talmud Chacham. And the boy made a siyum. Making a siyum, what more do you want? You're Talmud Chacham, make a siyum. And the principal, the Menahel, of Chaim Siegel, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, he gave a pep talk and he gave a little shmooze at the siyum. And he said, Mamash, we have here the fulfillment of what it says in Chazal. Lo yomushu v'picha v'pih zarecha v'pih zer zarecha. And you have to have all three generations together. And Baruch Hashem, we have here three generations sitting in front of us, all Talmidei Chachamim. This is the ultimate bracha. So the Medrash actually connects that Chazal into this pasuk, because here it says Tov. What's the ultimate Tov? Yanchil Bnei Vanim. Bnei Vanim are grandchildren. So the Tov, the real Tov is the real. Let me read. The real Tov is. Who was the first one to whom this was fulfilled? Avraham Avinu. I told you this once before. If you could live at any time you want in the world, you're given a choice. I'll put you in a time machine. You only can go back once. Only once. When would you want to live? Tough question. Would you want to live during the time of Shlomo Melech? Would you want to live during the time of Avraham? Would you want to live the time of Adam? Time of Noach? Could be in the Teva with him? When do you want to live? Figure out. You want to live during the time of the Vilna Gaon? Do you want to live during the time of the Tanoim? It's a tough decision. But L'chari, the best time to live would be the 15 years when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov live together. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their lives overlapped for 15 years. What could be a better tikkuf in the history of the world during those 15 years? The three of us see each other. Yaakov was 15 years old when Avraham Avinu died. That means they overlapped by 15 years. And that's what it says. Tov, Yanchil, what is the tzaddik will be Yanchil, will bequeath to Bnei Vanim, to his grandchildren. Meaning that he will be present when he witnesses his grandchild continue the legacy of Torah. That is the ultimate good. Aha, okay, you're making a good point. I don't know the answer. What does it say here in the Medrash? Dover acher hoya Avraham ben Kuf Samach Shana v'ro es Yaakov avinu ben Tesvav Shani. So Yaakov, 15 years old. Yoyeshe ba'oil shol Torah l'kach posachnu toiv yanchil b'nei vanim l'fi shezocha Avraham avinu lahanchil derech mitzvot v'chukim l'ven b'no Yaakov. Therefore, he was zocha that it never departed from his family, from Klal Yisrael forever. All right, it's an idea. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk is Rav Oichel near Roshim, V'yesh Nisbe B'loy Mishpat. Okay, let's go very slow in this pasuk. I don't really have that much clarity here, but let's see pasuk of Gimel. Rav Oichel Harbe Machel, much food comes. Boli Olam Al Yidei Charishas Ho'aniim Hachoshim Besade Tvua Who Plow. The rich who have not toiled, they derive benefit. So in other words, this pasuk is telling us that we live in a world that's not fair. The entire theme of this pasuk is it's not a fair world. There are people here who are inequality. People are exploited. There is an abundance of food that comes to wealthy people who have not lifted a finger to bring it into this world. Rav Oichel, an abundance of food have come near. Near means through the plowing of the Roshim, the poor, exploited people of third world countries. Their hard labor is what the wealthy people of this world benefit from. They pay them, but it's not the same. If they're not, it's a whole different standard of life. One more time, harbe machu. One more time, these powerful words. Much food, bole oilam al yidei charisha swanim, through the plowing of the poor people. Hachorshim asadeh. The word near means to plow. Who plow in the field? Tvua. Vihine, and behold, ho ashirim, the wealthy people, asherloi amulubo, who have not toiled, yoichlum, they get to eat it. Uchmochein. Now the end of the pasuk says there's another problem. There are tzaddikim in this world, the other way around, there are righteous people who die without any reason, which we do not understand. Very frightening pasuk. Chmochein yesh mi asher nesaf mikol olam, who leave this world beloy mishpat maves, without any just cause. Kilo osa davar asher yumas bavu, they have not done any aver for which they deserve to die. The nitbas hu ba'avoin acher, they are seized due to the sins of others. How does this work? We have no idea. There's no way we can possibly understand how this works. We don't know what that's. It's not fair. Everything is done by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tzadik hatsur tamim paolo ki chol derachav mishpat. Hashem is perfect. Everything he does is with precision, with perfection. So yet, how do we reconcile that concept with what it says here, that the person can leave this world b'lay mishpat? That's something which requires emunah, and it's not for us to question. But here the pasuk makes this very powerful statement. Pasuk of Gimel, here I'm a little confused what it says, so you'll help me out with this. Pasuk of Gimel in Rashi, Rav Oichel near Roshim, Re'isi b'mesaris ha'gedoyla. I saw in the Mesaris ha'gedoyla that there's two, the Rashi, we don't have this anymore today. You have to look at an old Chumash. There's something called the Mesaris ha'gedoyla and the Mesaris ketana. Okay, there are two different. There's two different Mesaris in the new printings of Tanakh. They don't have the Mesara altogether. It's not even there. I don't even know where you can find it. But if you go to the the new Mikros Gedolos do not have it. They took it out as the codes. Someone once explained to me how it works. You have to find an old, maybe B'li Neder. I'll bring in a photocopy. And I'll try to figure out. We'll have maybe a shiur on that one day. third part. But he's quoting it from the Mesores HaGedoyla. And again, we say the Mesores HaGedoyla, it's in contrast to the Mesores Kitana. Rav Oichel, Shloishim Ushloisha Rav Kimotzim. There are 33 times in Tanakh where it says the word Rav with a komatz. I didn't say Rav, I said it, Rav.
Right.
Is it the Rav or the Rav? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
A big debate among the Talmidim of Soloveitchik. Some call him the Rav, some call him the Rav. You familiar with this? Okay, I'm just going off on tangents. But there are 33 times in Tanakh where we have the word Rav, and it's spelled with a komatz. Rav Kimotzim. V'zehu chat of komatz. Now, this is not a real komatz. Here, Rashi tells us, don't be misled. It's a chat of komatz, which means there are two dots before the komatz, which means it's not a full komatz. You have to swallow the komatz. Don't give it a full attention. Umuchuber im oichel. And it's therefore when it's a chotav komatz, the rules of Baramin, it's the nesik, it's attached to the word oichel, b'makov, with this little thing on top which connects it. The oichel re'isi, shame nokud, patach. I've seen the word oichel, re'oichel re'isi shom, there in the Mesorah HaGedoyah, nokud, patach, with a patach. Now, right away I have it on my parentheses. My parentheses, we're going into real heavy duty grammar. Ratzalaymar segel shu patach kotan. Rashi had a different terminology for the vowels. What we call a patach and a cholon, he had different vocabulary. So here he just explains now vernacular. It means a segel, which is the same as a patach kotan. Oh, you have the oh, you have good. Right, lamed gimel. Oh, okay, excellent. I'm going to pass this around. Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to pass this around. If you look over here, this is an old Mikros Gedolos that Rav Meir found for us. Mishle, it has the text, it has the Targum, has Rashi and Ibn Ezra, which is very interesting. Then in the middle, you see over here these funny little letters. These funny little letters have our codes. You have to know how to translate the code. Here, all it has is on the Pasuk of Gimel Rav, Lamed Gimel, and a Komatz underneath. That's a code. You have to, what does that mean exactly? What it means is there are 33 times in Tanakh the word Rav that has a Komatz. Mm-hmm. If you look up the word Tov, I'm going to pass it around, you look right up Pasuk HaBeis, we just learned Tov, there's a little the circle, which means Hey B'Te'ima. There are five times the word Tov where there's a revi under the tes, something along those lines. Okay, I don't know the codes. Now that's the Mesorah Gedola. The Mesorah Kitana is on the bottom. No, above the Toldos Aharon, on top of the Toldos Aharon, on top of the Toldos Aharon is the Mesorah Kitana. Okay. So you don't have this anymore. I don't think any Tanakh, any new printing of Tanakh, as far as I know, does not have any more the Mesorah Gedola. They took it out. No one's interested. What?
I have it home in the back of
the old ones. But the new Mikros Gedolos, the new Hamo'ar, they put out...
About 40 years ago, though, the red ones and the green ones.
Okay, but these they have maybe separate Sfarim. The separate Sfarim that have this, but here you have the Mesorah Gedola, and underneath the Targum, I'll pass around, you'll see this other thing where it says all these other interesting things, and it gives you simonim, and it tells you how many times it appears. That's the Mesorah Kitana. No, no gematrias. Okay, so the word ochel here is translated.
I have this at home.
They don't make this anymore.
Back of Tehillim.
This, you can't buy this anymore.
I'm saying the back of Tehillim.
Yeah.
All, here it is. No, just somewhere.
This one is
the green ones, right? The green ones and the red and the pink, the purple one. The back of Tehillim you have. The next, and the red.
Okay, but this is something you don't have anymore. We easy to look there on Pasuk Chaf Gimel. And it's Perik Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Look at the word where it says Rav Oichel. And you'll see in the center, it says the Lamed Gimel, and there's a Komatz underneath. That's exactly what Rashi here is quoting here on the side. We easy to Mesores HaGedoyle. Rav Oichel Shloishim Ushloisha Rav Kimotzim 33 times. Now he apologizes. Vzeu Chatav Kamatz. So that's maybe Rashi's. That's not a real Kamatz. A Chatav Kamatz. The reason why it's a Chatav Kamatz is because we have to attach the Rav to the word Oichel. Umchuber im Oichel b'makov. The Oichel Reisi Sham Nakud. There it's Patach. And patach, a patach means the same thing as a patach koton. There's a patach gadol and a patach koton. What we call a segel is what Rashi calls a patach koton, but it's not a segel. That's why it's rov ochel. The ochel will ochel fine. The tamo leela, it's mileel. It's not milera, which means it's ochel. Okay, Mila'el means the accent is on the beginning of the word, not on the end of the word, so it's Ochel, the first syllable. Kamo, es kol Ochel Hashanim Hatavos in Bereshis. Ochel, there is also in the beginning of the word. Ulefi Nikuda, so according to all of the rules of grammar, the way the Nikud, the vowels, and the way and the accents, Ze Pisrono, Harbe. Rav means an abundance of Tzvua Bol Olam Alide Nir Anoshim Dalim through the plowing, the exploitation of the poor man. Kiloimar, Harbe. Now here Rashi right away jumps into the Medrash, the Mitzudas right away didn't want to touch this, but Rashi does. Kiloimar, Harbe Torah Yoytza Al Yidei Talmidim Sherabosayim Lemeidim Ehem. Much Torah comes through the Talmidim, the Rabbi and the teachers learn, and Mitalmidah Yoytza Mikulam Sherabosayim Lemeidim Ehem Mitoch Pulpulim Shemepalpulim Behalacha. So the near Rashim, who are the Rashim? People who are poor in Torah, a student, a new student who enters Cheder, what does he know? But he asks a lot of good questions, and he gets the Rebbe thinking. And when the Rebbe starts thinking, the Rebbe then derives, he's able to build upon all of his insights, all of his the accumulation of knowledge that he has all the years. He has rov oichel, an abundance of ochel, of food. Food is a symbol for Torah. Is l'chu lacham u'belachmi? Go and what?
Product.
It's the ultimate product is food. This is the very beautiful interpretation of Rashi. Then Rashi was the yesh nispeh. The yesh harbe mihem shehem kolim min ha'olam b'shvil loy mishpat. We actually over here so far as we're learning the poshim shat that there are people who leave this world below mishpat. She'enam noyhagim kashura. So Rashi first says what it means here, loy mishpat means they deserve it. Not like the Mitzudas says that they die without our understanding. They die because loy mishpat, they are evil. They have committed averos. They have not done justice in this world for not following the rules of the world. That's why they suffer. They die. She'ena nohayim geshura ulein hatzvua yesh tzvua. With regard to parnasa, sometimes the person loses. Now, then Rashi goes on to say the yesh nispa. We're going to keep the word nispa in context of the pasuk. We're discussing the near, what is the plowing of the field. V'yesh tvua loike b'shvil ba'olecha she'ena motzia ma'asroseha u'ma'atonos aniyim kimishpat. There are times when the owner does not give the ma'asros and the ma'atonos laniyim kimishpat, and that's why nispeh, and that's why the tvua HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away a person's parnasa, because b'loy mishpat he has not given chumais to ma'asros. So Rashi learns the pasuk very different than and the mitzvahs will summarize in a few moments. Here is where Rashi is coming to be consistent with what we learned in the mitzvahs David. Sometimes the Malach HaMavis makes a mistake. He gets an order to take a neshama by a specific name, and he doesn't take the right person. He looks up in the phone book, and he the wrong person. Shemachalev shame b'shame. And he takes the life of a person whose man has not come. Avol imkain who inyan soif apostik. Avol imkain who ain inyan soif apostik lerosho. If you want to interpret that in that fashion, then the end of the pasuk has absolutely nothing to do with the beginning of the pasuk, and that's not necessarily true according to the parish of the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos does seem to connect the end of the pasuk with the beginning of the pasuk by explaining that there's something that's not fear that's happening. There's some exploitation. Rashi never went in that direction. Rashi learned the beginning of the pasuk simply in referring to Talmidim, that Talmidim caused the Rebbe to become greater. So then the beginning of the pasuk indeed has nothing to do. The end of the pasuk, you want to interpret the end of the pasuk in reference to the Malach HaMavis. But according to the Mitzvah, the beginning of the pasuk refers to the whole theme of the pasuk is this world is not a fair place. There are people that work like slaves in order for the wealthy to benefit. That's not fair. And there are tzaddikim in this world who die for not having committed any avera. So tzaddik v'raloi, rasha v'toivlo. That's one consistent theme. Rashi does not learn the beginning of the pasuk in reference to rasha tzaddik v'ralo, meaning the poor man has to work. So Mele Rashi is disturbed. If you go to the end of the pasuk in reference to a tzaddik dying b'loi mishpat, there's no connection. But if you want to learn the end of the pasuk in reference to tzvua, and nisbe means that a person sometimes he loses, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a storm, he brings some rodents that destroy a person's crop. It's because b'loy mishpat, it's because he has not separated trumos and maishos, then it does fit at least to some degree with the beginning of the pasuk where we're discussing the plowing of the field, at least according to the pshat.
The Malach HaMavis is a shaliach.
Yeah.
How does he become Kedusha?
So this is the big mystery. How did this have to do with Miriam? That was the whole story with Miriam, Megadlos Seyar, that he took. The Malach HaMavis, he took by mistake the wrong person, the wrong time. They wanted then to return the person. The Malach HaMavis, once Hashem takes him, he can't go back. It's too late. Again, these are very, very big mysteries. This also has a halachic implication. We discussed this last week when a person goes to the kever of a yachid. We mentioned this last week, go to kever racha. Every time you go to a Beis HaKfaris, you will have to make a bracha. And the nus of the bracha is Asher Yotzar Eschem Bedin Vehem, I've got the exact words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took your life. Vehem is Eschem Badin. Now you can't say that when you're dealing with one person because of this pasuk. It's mamish because of the quote. They actually quote this pasuk because V'yesh Nispeh B'loi Mishpat. Since there does exist and it sees in this world to die without din, there are reasons why people die that we have no understanding. So if you go to a kever of an individual, maybe that individual is from that category. So you can't make the bracha, the nusach of the bracha, that the person died bedin. Maybe the person did not die bedin. But if you go into a cemetery where there are many, many kvarim, there are 10 kvarim, then you have a right to assume that among the multiple kvarim, at least one person did die with din.
When you say the
Nashkes, yeah.
Does that mean that area or all over the world?
I don't know what it means. I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know. I have no idea. Okay, let's go to...
So is Shlomo advocating socialism?
Is he advocating socialism? He's saying it's not fair?
Equality.
I don't think he's advocating. He's just saying that's the way it is. It's a mitzias.
But he's saying it's not a complaint. It's not the ideal.
The same way the yesh nisbe b'loy mishpat, there's something called nisbe, but which we have no understanding of. It's a way the world was set up.
He didn't redistribute his own.
I don't know. He's asking a good question. Is it? What would happen today if there would not be would the world economy survive? If there would be equality in the world? If everyone in China and third world countries who are doing all or making all the Nike sneakers, if they would be given a health insurance, Obamacare, if everyone in the whole world had Obamacare, would the world economy survive, or would the whole world go bankrupt?
I'm looking at it fairly. The roads and the sewage and this government, that is being paid. Who's paying for it? The guy who's making Nike is getting services that he may not be aware of.
In a chnami.
Get up in the morning because the Chinese are watching that the Russians don't come over.
It's a very complicated world.
So you can't say, you know...
It's a very complicated... It's a very complicated world. But yet they all want to come here. Yet, after everything is said and done, they would rather be in America. If the borders would be open, they would all come in a heartbeat.
It's not an individual decision.
When equality of income is experimented with, it turns everyone poor.
Okay, so what do you see? So you're trying to say that it's built into the DNA of the world that there has to be inequality. The same way the yesh nispeh b'loy mishpat, in the spiritual world, there are things that don't make sense to us, and that's the way it is. Tzaddikim die b'loy mishpat. in the world, the living world, not the world, the olam ha'emes, leaving this world, is also built with the principles of things that are not logical. And it's necessary for the world to exist. Is that, am I saying it's true? I don't know if it's true or not. But it's a very powerful starting point to look at this pasuk, Rav Oichal Nir Roshim, many people benefit from the food that has been plowed by the poor. And it's clearly a pasuk that's talking about exploitation, according to the Mesudos Stavit. That's because there is someone else. But if you set up a society, you start from...
Well, everyone will sit back and do nothing. You have the story of these...
The rich guy will go out. The rich guy, when he was 5 years old, they would teach him to go plow the field because that's the way the world is. You have to go plow the field.
Okay, so
then it all trickles down. People rise to the top and they always feel on the bottom. So you're basically saying that's the way the world has to be in order for the world to exist. Einachanami, that's what the pasuk says. It's a fact. It's a matter. It's not an expression of frustration. Oy, achim, what could it be? That's not a fair place. Rav, oichel, near Roshan. That's the way the world is. This is the statement. The world is built upon the principle where it has to be Rav, oichel, through the near Roshan. That's the way the world has to be in order for the world to survive. Is that what it means? Possibly. I don't know. These are very deep ideas, but they're all hinted to in Chazal.
And that with the Matruna and
Yeah.
She wanted fancy food, and every time she went, there was no food.
Right? Yeah.
So she saw
a kernel of barley in dung.
And it wasn't good enough. By the time she decided, she didn't have a choice. She was reliant on the other people.
Chazal criticized her that she should not have allowed herself to reach that degree of sense. That's no, but she shouldn't have been so finicky to come to that point. Okay, there's one local with one very beautiful medrash. Not a medrash, just a little story from the medrash rabba, Bereishis rabba. The Gemara says, a maisa where a tax collector was given rishus to collect from two towns. Tzipore, maisa b'yachad she nishtalach ligboi smas b'nei Tveria or b'nei Tzipore. He has two licenses. I have a license to collect from Tveria and a license to collect taxes from Tzipore. So he goes now, he's in Tveria, he's making his rounds, I'm here to collect tax for the king. He knocks on the door and a person knocks on the door and says, I'm sorry, I'm just a visitor. I'm here for a simcha. My brother's making a chasana. I'm from Tzipore. Let me see your passport. Passport, sure enough. This is a passport that was issued in Tzipore. So he says, sorry, today's not your good day. I'm also have a license to collect from Tzipore. I didn't get there yet. So you saved me the trip of coming into your house, so pay me right now. You made it easy for me. I'm from Tzipore. So he collected. Okay, fine. And then as he was making his rounds in Washington, there was a big debate, there was a big taram, and there was a revolt, and the president said, you know what? I want to make peace with all the Democrats, with all the Republicans. I'm moichel the city of Tzipore. I'm moichel them. They don't have to pay taxes. They call up on the cell phone, the tax collector, don't go to Tzipore to collect taxes because the king was moichel the collection from Tzipore. So what happened? V'nimsa, so it turns out that this person, here is v'yesh v'nimsa, the medrash applies, what happened to this poor fellow? He already paid the taxes. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the medrash doesn't get credit. V'nimsa, sha'oisai ho'ish, nispeh, he was collected from, b'loi mishpat mikoymoi. Beloy mishpat mekaymai nenash beloy mishpat haroy lemekaymai tzipari elafim lefish nizal b'netzvay v'zol yesh nispe beloy mishpat. There are people that just happen to be in the wrong place in the wrong time, and they get swallowed up. So that's how the Medrash. Obviously, there must be some very deep nimshal in this what the pasuk means. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has His ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to be in a certain place in a certain time, for whatever reason. Even though had he been somewhere else, it would not have happened to him. I think what it's saying is that the Satan is mekadreg mishas hasakana. If you're in the wrong place, if you're in a different place, a person can live to 120 years old. Happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, he can leave the world 50 years before his time. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him there, or causes him through providence. So that's what you want to say. It's very difficult to understand.
By way of providence.
You know, it's like the other use of this term, this pet. Ma'af tispet tzadik in Russia. Abraham is arguing about Sodom.
Yeah.
Will you finish off the tzadik?
Okay, we'll stop here.